Let us then turn in God's Word to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. We take up the sermon that we ended midstream a few weeks ago. As we look at God being glorified in the Red Sea, or perhaps differing experiences of different people in the Red Sea, we have to understand that this world, on the one hand, for believers, is a great blessing. And on the other hand, for unbelievers, is an opportunity for them to increase their responsibility before the throne of God. That in the same experience, outwardly, God is doing two incredibly different things. And that's one of the things that we look at as we look at the crossing of the Red Sea. So Exodus chapter 14, we'll read together the whole of the chapter. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and that the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, and the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, what do we trust? Whom do we trust? It's easy to trust our eyes, isn't it? We look, we see things, but you know, you and I see the same thing, and oftentimes we see it in a different manner, don't we? We know as creatures. God knows as creator. God knows as the all-wise God. And we have to look at things from a human perspective. Now, we certainly can take a little bit of what God reveals to us as his perspective, as he shows it to us in his word. But let us not be deceived by the things which appear when the things that are true are often not what we are necessarily seeing. Remember Elisha, when he was surrounded by the armies of the enemy. And he said to his servant, who was scared out of his boots, "The army of the Lord is greater than the armies that surround us." So often we see things from a physical perspective. We are certainly spiritual creatures, but we are very physical creatures. And we need to know that God works using physical and spiritual means. And that the armies of the Lord are far greater than the armies of wickedness. So who do we trust? And as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is that God brings his people through perceived danger for his glory and for their safety. As we looked last time, we looked at the first point, we saw that God prepares one more defeat for the Egyptians. That the Israelites were between a rock and a hard place. And God kept telling them to head toward the rock, the sea, the Red Sea. God says, "Stand still and trust in me. I will fight for you." And so often in situations in which we look at the world around us and we say, God says go forward, and we say we can't go forward. I got half a step, I'm going to hit a brick wall. God says, go forward. He makes the path. As we look at verses 15 through 23, we see that God protects his people through the deep waters. And then we turn to verses 24 through the end of the chapter, through verse 31, and we see that God destroys his people's enemies in the deep waters. So first of all, God protects his people through the deep waters. God hardens Pharaoh's heart for what? Just to make the people of Israel uncomfortable? God sends hardship upon us in this life. Why? Because he's being mean? No way! God hardens Pharaoh's heart to demonstrate his glory to protect Israel. God points the Israelites, as I said, forward toward the impossible. Toward the track that God had laid out for them. Remember, the sea in a hard place. The rock in a hard place. We're so often turned back by our own understanding without trusting God, who knows all and won't direct us incorrectly. When God says, go forward by His word, we need to be very careful that we're not the ones who say, I don't trust Him. God promises the way across the Red Sea. That rock is going to get out of the way. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And Moses passes this information on to Israel. And so often it's easier to trust our eyes than it is to trust God's word, isn't it? From Israel's perspective, the danger is going from bad to worse. Every chariot in Egypt is after them. It's like having all the tanks of the United States coming and surrounding them. And yet, God says, go forward toward that impassable object. I'll make a way. And God continues to promise to harden the Egyptians' hearts. They're going to come after you yet. They're not even going to stop at the edge of the Red Sea. I'm going to make the path through. They're going to come on through. It's almost hilarious to think about. God is going to bring them through, and yet God says, this isn't going to be for your defeat. This hardship, these guys coming after you with bows and arrows and with spears and all of the possible armor that was there. I mean, this is just nearly a million people walking through the Red Sea with all sorts of animals. They were sitting ducks for any military assault. And God says, I'll take care of you. I'll be with you. And God protects His people from their enemies. Notice, the cloud and fire that was going before the Israelites comes around and goes behind them. Makes an impassable barrier. To the one side it was pitch black, towards the Egyptians, towards the Israelites. God gave them light. I mean, just amazing, miraculous stuff. They had the 10 plagues in their background. They had just seen the hand and the power of God. How often do we see the hand of God? And on the next thing, is He going to take care of me here? I don't think so. What does Romans chapter 8 say? If God sent His only Son and gave Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? He's not going to short us on the things of this life. In fact, if we're reading our Bibles correctly, God tells us that He sends hardship upon us to prepare us, to fit us for heaven, James chapter 1. To work hope in us. To work confidence in our salvation. And Israel crosses the Red Sea on dry land. God brings the wind. Moses puts his rod over the Red Sea, and the wind blows all night. Now the picture that I always had reading that is that wind blew all night and blew the water out of the way. And you maybe have seen the documentaries. Yeah, there's a kind of a shallow area in the Red Sea, and it could have blown that water out of the way. It's not what happened. Listen to what happened. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. The children of Israel went in the midst of the sea. By the time it was morning, they were across. This wasn't, God worked the winds so just at that time in the morning when they were ready to cross. No. God drove the sea back. I hate to say it, I'm not big a fan of movies made out of the Bible. But Charleston Heston had a better perspective on it than most Christians today. God drove it back. What do we read? Walls of water! God is just... I mean, we shouldn't be surprised by that. And yet, the amazing power of God demonstrated right in front of the Israelites, right in front of our faces. Psalm 78, verse 13, He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters stand up like a heap. Walls of water. And Israel crosses over on dry ground, not even through puddles. Yet the Egyptians follow. That takes some pretty hard hearts on their hand, doesn't it? We have to understand how hard human hearts are without the gospel, without the work of the Holy Spirit in them. They just follow right in. Yeah, we got walls of water on either side that can fall back at any moment. Yeah, we're going after them Israelites. We want them back as slaves. We have to realize how hard our hearts are without the gospel, without Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit. And we have to see that as we look at people around us who don't know the gospel. We have to understand that there is a great gulf between how we think and how the unbeliever thinks. It's not just, well, we're a little bit different. Christians have a change of mind. And it's not like, well, I just changed my mind about what car I want. God takes out our sinful mind and puts in an entirely different mind. We have the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says again and again. And God works another miracle. The Egyptians follow in. You almost hear the song, Send in the Clowns, don't you? It's almost slapstick humor. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 4. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. God laughs at the unbeliever in their sinful paths. You need to understand that. He kind of, I think, from a certain perspective, says, nah, man, what kind of idiocy can we make them believe now? Because you look around, and the unbeliever continues to dig themselves deeper and deeper into foolishness. And God destroys His people's enemies in the deep waters. God traps Egypt in the sea. God confuses the Egyptians. He bound their chariot wheels. Remember, they're driving the tanks of that time after the Israelites. And God stops them in the middle of the Red Sea so that they drove with difficulty. Notice that they see the judgment coming. They fear and attempt to turn back. We read in verse 25, He took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty, and the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. They finally figure it out. From a certain perspective, you almost feel bad for them, but you need to realize the background, the slavery that they were trying to bring the Israelites back to. And brothers and sisters, again, we're reminded of the parallel of slavery in Egypt to our sins. And as we heard the Israelites say, were there no graves in Egypt that we could go back there and be slaves and at least live? We want to go back to sin, to the slavery. So often, it's what we choose. I'm okay, I think I'll do it my way. God says no, but I got it figured out better, God. And I'm not saying that pointing fingers out that aren't pointing back at me, brothers and sisters. We need to realize that. We're all sinners, and we all do that. And by God's grace, we throughout our lives begin to live, as the Catechism so rightly says, not only according to some, but according to all of God's commandments. Notice that the Egyptians take God's name on their lips. Yahweh, the Lord, fights for them. Not just their God fights for them. And they finally had the realization that God is the Lord. Notice that this is what James calls a demonic faith. You believe that there is one God? So do the demons, and tremble. If all we believe is that there is a God out there somewhere, that's not a Christian faith. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who saves me from my sins, who saves us from our sins. And God brings back the water over the pursuing Egyptians. God uses Moses. Notice, he says, stretch out your hand over the waters. God uses, even in miracles, God uses means. And so often we are accused as Reformed believers of saying, oh, God will get it done even if I don't do anything. And sometimes that's how we act. God uses us. And we need to be engaged, involved. Not just, oh, God's got it figured out. All I have to do is sit back, relax. God will take care of it. No. God tells Moses to stretch out his hand over the sea, and the waters return. Israel had been trapped. The wind blew. And they crossed over the sea. The Egyptians followed after them. And the waters returned one night. We're talking about 1 million people, plus all of their herds and animals. This is not a small exodus. This is a phenomenal amount of people. God takes care of His people. God destroys His people's enemies. There's something that I think we have another problem in our understanding of the world. I often hear people say, well, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. And brothers and sisters, we have to understand the justice of God. That those who are in rebellion against God, and by the way, me too in my sins, deserve God's eternal punishment beyond the worst thing I could ever imagine. I deserve. But God, by His grace, gives forgiveness of sins to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God justly destroys the Egyptians in the waters. God overthrows the Egyptians. Why? To show His power. That's what He says in Romans. Is that God raised up Pharaoh. Why? To demonstrate His power. To demonstrate His saving power. And God raised up our Lord Jesus Christ, as Moses said, the prophet after His own, like unto Moses, of course far greater, to whom the Lord doesn't speak in dreams, but speaks face to face. And Jesus Christ saves us from the slavery, not to the Egyptians, which was certainly a horrible slavery, but to the far worse slavery of slavery to sin. And brothers and sisters, we're not to look back and say, well, I liked that sin. It was kind of fun. No, but to rejoice in the salvation which God gives, which God, by His grace, saves us, saves me from the judgment which I deserve in my sins. God's name is glorified. God is the one who receives the glory and the honor. Israel is standing there by the seashore without any hope. Their enemies were coming after them. They were between the rock and the hard place, and God opens it up and directs them through and destroys their enemies just like that. And brothers and sisters, if we are afraid to move forward in the Word of God, we need not. We move forward trusting in the Lord. We move forward knowing that God, who has promised that He will take care of us, will. And even in hardship, even in the worst things we can imagine, God is guiding and guarding us. And we are to move forward according to His Word. The Lord is the one who saved Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians. They saw the bodies of those who had persecuted them, who had whipped them, who had beaten them, wash up dead. And brothers and sisters, we must as well see the wickedness of sin, and that we would, by God's grace, put to death our sin and our sinful nature, and take delight in living out of thankfulness to God according to His commandments. Israel saw God's hand as He saved them out of Egypt. God cares for His people. He calls them His firstborn. When we pray in a few moments, how do we open our prayer? Our Father. We call upon God as our Father. He takes care of us better than our earthly fathers ever could. And so as we look at this passage of God's Word, the Israelites and the Egyptians both head through the Red Sea. We have the same initial experience, but those two experiences have very different outcomes, don't they? We live in this world. We walk forward in this world. And we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That all of the hardships, no matter what goes on that causes us to fear, causes us pain, that God isn't doing that just for the fun of it. No way. He tells us that He doesn't cause us a needless trial. But that those trials, those times of testing are there, so that we may, in the next, trust God the more and may show His glory in every experience that comes upon us. So where are our eyes? Are they on our Savior? Amen. Let us bow before our God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer with the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, O Lord, that we might look to You in all things, that we might trust in You in the good times and in the hard times, that we might know that You are not causing us a needless trial, and that all of these things work together for Your people, for the good of those who love You, to those who are the called according to Your purposes. We pray, O Lord, that we might truly put all of our trust in You, that we might take it from all things of this world, even from ourselves and from our own eyes, knowing that we are so easily fooled. And we pray, O Lord, that as we look forward, as we push forward according to Your Word, and we would have confidence, even though we may not even be able to see the next place to step our foot, that when we step out trusting in You, You will guide that step, and that You would put our foot on solid ground in Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, as well, that as we live upon this earth, our trust, our hope would not be in the things of this world, but in Jesus Christ and in eternal life. And we rejoice that You have given eternal life to those who put their faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so, Lord, we pray that You would bless us, that You would receive our thanksgiving for Your Word, and You would receive our thanksgiving for Your guidance. For we know that in all of these things, even in trials, we are more than conquerors through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, praising you that we can pray to you as our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.